Would you stand with me? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. What He did for me on Calvary is more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, who will never fail. He will never fail. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I know the author of tomorrow has ordered my steps. So this is my story, this is my song, praising my risen King and Savior all the day long. I trust in God, my Savior, who will never fail. He will never fail. Never fail. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, who will never fail. He will never fail. I sought the Lord and He heard and answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God.
Amen.
Faith of our fathers living still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with
we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our fathers, we will strive to win all nations unto thee, and through the truth that comes from God, mankind shall then be truly free. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our fathers, we will love both friend and foe in all our strife, and preach thee to as love knows how, by kindly word and virtuous life. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death.
Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
A few announcements here. First off, we'll be having our business meeting after morning service today. And then there's no evening service tonight. And then May 31st, next Saturday, the Corinne Church dedication service will be at 10 a.m. And that is in Green Forest. And the address is there on your bulletin. And then also, youth. For one thing, we will be meeting the youth kids that are going to camp. The youth camp will be meeting this Wednesday, talk about some details and what to bring, not to bring, and everything like that. And then also, if you would like to donate some desserts for youth, cookies, brownies, cake, anything like that that easy to serve and store, if you want to bring that on June 8th, we would very much appreciate that.
Good morning.
Good morning.
If you're working in camp, which I hope is almost everyone in here, there is a sign-up sheet both back here in this foyer and also in the gym foyer. I need you to put your name down with your T-shirt size. I have to have all of the order in by the 31st, and so I really, really want to know what your T-shirt sizes are. Plus, it'll help me to know who's coming to work. Also, as y'all know, we'll be having funeral services here this week, and I need some help after the business meeting moving all of the camp stuff that we drug out on Wednesday night into the Sunday school classrooms. So if a few of you could stay after to help me do that, that would be greatly appreciated. Thanks so much.
Will y'all pray with me? God, I pray, just thank you for this day. God, I pray for the message we're going to hear. God, I pray you just speak to us and what you want us to do. God, I pray, just thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand and greet one another this morning.
Table, he will satisfy.
taste of His goodness. Find what you're looking for. For God so loved the world that He gave us His one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in Him will live forever. Come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting here with open arms. He is open arms. For God so loved the world that He gave us His one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in Him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated. Now it is well. I'm walking in freedom. For God so loved the world. Praise God, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, praise Him. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him for the wonders of His love, His amazing love. For God so loved the world that He gave us His one and only Son to save. For God so loved the world that He gave us His one and Son to save us. Whoever believes in Him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated. Now it is well. I'm walking in freedom. For God so loved, God so loved the world. Bring all your failures, bring your addictions. Come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting. God so loved the world.
Happy Memorial Day, by the way. This is the song that is the closest I could come that would fit that theme. We're pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road. And those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary. Their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly life. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe. And the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. After all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind. May the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we must find. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprint that we leave lead them to believe. Lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Oh, may all. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful.
This thirsting of my soul, bread of heaven.
Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole.
Amen. You may be seated. Well, our gentlemen are coming forward to take the offering. I want to welcome you to Osage Baptist Church. If you're a first-time visitor willing to brave the rain this morning, there's a blue envelope in the pew in front of you we'd like for you to fill out and put in the offering plate as it comes by so we can have a record of your visit. Thank you for doing that, and we hope you'll feel welcome here at Osage this morning. One of our men will come now and lead us in prayer.
Just thank you for this day. We can come into your house and, Lord, to worship you, sing praises to you, and Lord, just to hear your word. We ask you be with those that went before us, Lord, and fought for our rights to be able to have this freedom, Lord, that we can come and freely worship you. Lord, we ask you be with this offering, and you'll make it go further than we could ever imagine, Lord, to bless your kingdom. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Children's Church, by the way.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
I'm trying to remember, and this isn't a joke. I'm trying to remember, was I supposed to remember something to announce this morning that I told you last night? Okay. All right. Anyway, I guess I don't have that. We do have our short business meeting after service today, and we'll talk about our services coming up and plans for that. But anyway, my mind just left me whenever I couldn't remember if I'd forgotten something. Anybody else ever in that situation? The sad thing is I was just sitting there thinking about remembering and forgetting, and I was going to say this in a moment, I'll say it now, and we were sitting there, and Brandy leans up and said, "Did you remember it's Memorial Day weekend?" And I thought how ironic that was, because she has lived with me for so long, she knows that I forget things often. And then I wasn't going to tell this story, but I'll tell this story. The other day I was sitting there eating, I was sitting there at our meeting, our 2 o'clock meeting, kitchen staff meeting, that's what it is, and I had to remember what we call it, and I looked at Greg across the table, and I said, I bet you don't forget anything at home. And he said, well, not much. And I said, because I just had a meeting with Kim, and we talked about the speaker, and then we talked about a bunch of other stuff, and then she left, and then I get a text, hey, don't forget you're supposed to call that speaker. And I thought, that she didn't have to know me very long to know that I need reminded for everything, right? So, and I was thankful because I had already, we had moved on. I had thought about something else, and it would have been forgotten if not for the reminder. And I think that's all pretty appropriate for today, being that it's Memorial Day. And we talk about Memorial Day, and I think a lot of people think Memorial Day is that holiday that we're supposed to all barbecue something, right, and have a good time, and we forget what Memorial Day is about. Does anybody remember what Memorial Day is about? Charity? It's about remembering the fallen soldiers, right? And remembering and honoring those memories of those that gave their life in battle for our country. And a lot of times, now, I specifically say it that way because that is what it was designed for, and I may talk about it more in a moment, but, you know, a lot of times we just lump all veterans in, but we have Veterans Day for that, right? And we have Memorial Day for those that gave their lives. We have Veterans Day to remember those that served. And I realize that veterans give a part of their life, probably a part of life they never get back when they serve and survive, but they didn't give their life in the same sense. So this morning, before we go any further, has anybody here had a loved one that's lost their life in service? Yeah? What was the name? Billy Youngblood? Travis, did you? Belmer? Albert? Anybody else? Okay. All right. Well, I think it's important we remember them and remember their names and for those that gave their lives so that we could have the freedoms that we have today. So with that, I'll hold. Well, let's have a word of prayer here. Let's go ahead and pray now. So, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for what it means to us as we look at this weekend and what we will be celebrating tomorrow, Lord, the remembrance of those who have given their lives for our freedom. Lord, those that they leave behind, and we thank you for their sacrifice. We thank you for their feeling of duty as they go and serve the country and preserves our liberties, Lord. Lord, I ask that you be with us this morning as we look to you, worship you, and look for your guidance. I ask that you just open our hearts and minds to your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, there was two ladies that were sitting and playing dominoes, and they'd been friends for 80 years, and the one lady looks across the table, and she looks at her friend and says, you're going to have to forgive me, but I can't remember your name. And the lady looked back at her and said, how soon do you need to know? That's you know, that's, like I say, we all forget something sometimes. And as I've already talked, we forget sometimes about what this weekend means and what other things mean, and we delude the meaning of some things, and I think that things that have a purpose should be remembered what that purpose is. But John Hopkins did a research here some time ago, and they found that people forget things, and 83% of the people forget names, and as you guys all know, I never forget a name. And 60% they forget where something is at. 57% forget phone numbers. 53% people forget words. 49% of the people forget what was said, and 42% of the people forget faces. You know, and whether or not you have just done something, 38% of the people forget whether or not they had just completed a task. And sadly, I hit 100% of these things that I can say I have forgotten. So I don't know if we all fit in that category, but I can say that I have forgotten all of these things. And, you know, I think that sometimes we get forgetful because our focus is on the wrong thing, or our focus is spread out to too many things. We become neglectful of the things that are important sometimes, and we don't remember what we should remember because we don't put the focus on what we should put the focus on. You know, we're, like I said, celebrating tomorrow what the soldiers, not only what they've done for us, but the fact that they have given that ultimate sacrifice for us, that they couldn't give more than what they did. And it started out as Decoration Day. Some places still refer to it as Decoration Day instead of Memorial Day. Anybody know of places that still call it Decoration Day? That is spelling a little bit, I think, for that. And sometimes even as a whole, we're not remembering the holiday in areas, I believe. But it started out to commemorate the lives of the almost half a million that gave their life during the Civil War. And then after World War II, it was expanded to honor all the soldiers that had passed away, or that had given their lives in any war. So it had been expanded, and that's what we celebrate today. And, you know, I think that people celebrate it in different ways. I think it's good that we celebrate in different ways. And people go to the lake, and people go fishing, and people have their barbecues, and people do all of those things. And I am in full support of doing that, because those are the freedoms that those soldiers died for us to celebrate. And I think it's entirely appropriate to celebrate and to have a barbecue and have the other things that we're going to do. We just need to make sure that we remember why we have those freedoms to do it. And it's those people that gave their life in service that made it possible for us to be able to have that barbecue or do whatever it is. Because I think often we want to forget that someone gave their life for our freedom. You know, the old saying, freedom isn't free. You know, we sometimes forget that freedom comes with a price, and being free comes with a price. And I think that sometimes we forget about that as a country, but we should never forget it spiritually. Because our spiritual freedom also come at a great price, and we should never forget that. I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning as we read Joshua 4:1-7. It says, "And it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, Take for yourselves 12 men from the people and one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, Take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, and from the place where the priest's feet stood firm, you shall carry them over, and you leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. And then Joshua called the 12 men from whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, and one man from every tribe, and Joshua said to them, Cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you are to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. And that is, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, What do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. And the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so, just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan. And as the Lord had spoken to Joshua according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and they laid them down there. And then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day. And I believe, yep, that was it. So you all can go ahead and be seated this morning. You know, God commanded them to do this because he knew that it would be forgotten. And the reason he knew that it would be forgotten, I believe, is because he knows human nature. And it's human nature to forget things as time goes on. And, you know, to be memories to be diluted over time. And that's why he said, put this memorial so when your children ask, what do they mean? It will prompt the later generations to say, what purpose is this here? And that's why we make monuments to people and statues and things where it begs the question when you see it, why is this here? Why? I mean, someone takes time to build those things. Someone puts resources in, you know, time and money, right, and materials, and they build statues, they build monuments, they build things to be a memorial to an idea or a thing or a happenstance. And they do it so that later generations will look at it and say, why is this here? And that hopefully we're curious enough to look and to remember. And I think we all probably have, you know, something that takes us back to a past time in our lives even, right? It might be a song that we hear that it takes us back and you remember a certain thing that you were doing when you heard that song. I'm probably not the only one here that does that, right? And maybe it's a smell. Maybe it's when you drive by a certain place and you look over and the kids will say, Dad, we don't need to hear the 100th time how you dug that ditch by hand. And that sidewalk is because, you know, well, Brad Libby and I dug that sidewalk together, you know. And they know it. And they may not have ever met Brad, but they know we dug that sidewalk together, you know. And every time we go by, they know it because I remember that was built there because we were doing that this summer. And but we have memorials for that purpose. And they said, God said to them, said, take those rocks from the center of the river and to where you're going to lodge tonight and build a memorial that I did this thing, right? And then we see in the last verse, he said, take those other rocks and they build a memorial where in the middle of the river, the way I read the text, in the middle of the river also, Joshua built that memorial where the priests had stood, and it memorializes the fact that God parted the waters, dried the river so they could go across. You know, it's I think whenever we look at things, we look at symbols. And you can't see it this morning, but we know there's a cross back there, right? And we see the symbol of the cross. And the cross itself doesn't have any power. The crucifix itself doesn't have any power. Because lots of people were killed on crucifixes. History tells us that over 200 slaves at one time was lining the roads going to Rome where they were all killed. So it's not the cross that has any power, right? It's only that one man that died on one cross that has any significance. The cross has significance because Christ died on it for our sins, and it wouldn't even have any significance then because he's not the only one, but he was perfect, and he died for our sins, and he was resurrected, and that's where the significance is. He conquered death through death by the cross. And that's why when we look at the cross, we're not thinking about that is the most horrific torture chamber ever designed by mankind. Does anybody ever think that when you look at the cross? I mean, not when I initially look at it. I might get there when I'm really pondering it. But I look at it and I see the cross and I know that that's a symbol of salvation, because that was the price, or where Christ paid that price. And there's people wearing cross necklaces and crosses on other jewelry, right, for cross, so we remember what Christ did for us. If Christ hadn't been resurrected, that would be the same thing as carrying around like an electric chair necklace, right? I mean, a guillotine bracelet. It has the same purpose, that mechanism, but it means something because what was done on it, and we put it up not because of what it was made for, but because what happened on it. Amen? And we remember when we see it that it stands for something else than what the original crucifix was designed for. You know, and Christ died on the worst device ever made for death by humans, so that we could overcome the worst device ever made because of death, which is hell. You know, because that's what the Bible says we've earned is hell for our sins. And he died on that torture chamber so that we're not tortured for eternity in hell. Romans 15:4 says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." And when we look at the cross today, we don't have that thought of what it was designed for. We have the thought of hope because of what it gives us. And I hope everybody here, when you look at the cross, you know that you have hope because of the cross, because of what Christ did on the cross. And when we see that symbol, when we have that memorial, if you will, it should guide us. You know, I think it's common for us today to be so arrogant to think that that we're smarter, we're better. Everything in the future is better than the past, and we don't think about the only way to have guidance for the future is to look at the past. You know, and it seems like so often today people get thinking that, well, we're always progressing forward into bigger and better things, and we're forgetting the things of yesterday to teach us to how to have a better future. You know, I remember Dad growing up, he always said this, and it stuck. And I always thought he said it because it was kind of like that dad joke thing. You know, he who doesn't remember his history is doomed to repeat it. You know, and I always thought that was like this being a dad joke. But the truth of it is, if we don't remember, if we don't learn from our history or learn our history, we are doomed to do the same thing over and over, thinking that we're going to get a different result. And that was true for the lives or for those in Israel, right? If you look at the nation of Israel and you look at the book of Judges, and it's just this vicious cycle, right? They're oppressed and they get delivered, and then they start serving the Lord, and then they have the freedom and they serve the Lord, and then they start falling into sin, and then they get oppressed, and then God delivers them after years of oppression. They turn back to God, and then God delivers them, and then they have the freedom, and they start taking that for granted again, and they start falling back into sin, and that seems very monotonous, right? And you think, as you're reading the text, and you're not thinking about the years and years that passed, you're reading the text, and you're like, man, just flip back a couple chapters, you know how that's going to turn out, right? Anybody else ever have that thought? How can you be so stupid? Now, maybe you guys are a little bit more generous than I am, but I'm reading that. I'm like, can you guys not figure this out? And then I look at my own life and I say, well, I understand why they didn't figure it out, right? Because how often do we go through something and we say, Lord, I really need you to deliver me from this, and then he does. And then we have our freedom and we forget how awful it was whenever we were in whatever situation and we was begging for deliverance, and then maybe we start going back to the way we were doing, and then we're like, Lord, I really need your interaction in my life, right? And at some point, we have to come to that where we just remember, hey, I don't want to do that thing because this is going to happen. Right? I don't want to get out of God's will because when I'm out of God's will, life is not good. And if it takes 12 rocks to remind us, maybe we should build 12 rocks out in our yard, right? I mean, we should do something to remind us that, hey, but I think that studying the Word reminds us as well. Joshua 4:20-24 says, "And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan, and he said to the Israelites, 'In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. And the Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea, and when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God.'" You know, when they crossed over the Jordan, they did a few things. They set up the memorial so people remember the things that God had done there. But another thing they did was all the men were circumcised. As you read on, they were all circumcised because during the 40 years of wandering around the desert, they hadn't been circumcised. And that was another sign that God had given to Abraham as their covenant to say, "Lord, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to follow you." So all the men of the camp that had been born in those 40 years after they left Egypt were circumcised, and they, like I say, they did that to obey the command and to show that they have that commitment. And I think I point that out because, you know, they removed a piece of flesh, right? They removed something from their bodies to show commitment. What do we remove from our lives showing that we are committed? You know, too often we think, well, I'm saved by grace through faith. That doesn't mean I'm saved by grace through faith that I can do whatever I want to because it's all covered. Right? That's not the way I read the Bible. And they remove something. What is it that we need to remove and sacrifice so that we can serve the Lord and show our commitment? I think, you know, that answer is probably different for each one of us. And I think that we know what it is because the Lord lets us know those things that take us from Him. You know, there'd be something maybe that's in our lives that's keeping us from being obedient to the Lord. And they did this as adults. Or maybe their forefathers did it as children, but they realized it hadn't been done and they corrected a wrong. You know, they also commemorated this time with the Passover because God had delivered those that had been covered by the blood, right, in the house. And they went ahead and they observed the Passover at this time. And it's 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, "Therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us." You know, they ate unleavened bread and roasted grain from the land at this time, and they did that also because the manna stopped once they crossed over the Jordan. The manna that had been supplied to them all the time that they was wandering in the wilderness, once they completed their journey, there was no more manna, and they ate from the harvest of the land. And I think that shows that they finally had achieved the victory that they left for, you know, because they left Israel, and I believe it was, I'm sorry, they left Egypt, and they were heading toward Israel, Canaan's land, right? And I think it would have been a pretty short trip if they had been obedient, you know, but they sent the spies and only Joshua and Caleb said, hey, it's good to go. And the other one said, eh, not so much. And God said, well, you'll wander around for 40 years in a very small space. I mean, if you look where they wandered, they wandered about in a very small, desolate area until all those people who had said, no, we're not going to trust the Lord. Even though we've seen all these great things, like the parting of the Red Sea, that they just kind of witnessed the same miracle. Even though they've seen all those things, they said, no, Lord, we're not sure about it. And he said, okay, you can wander around until you die. Because they didn't have the faith to believe that he was going to deliver them. So they had victory whenever they come across. Now that may seem like a pretty harsh paraphrase, but it's true. Right? They didn't have the belief, and God said, okay, you didn't have the belief, you're not going to accept my promise. You're not going to be able to enter over because you didn't believe that I'm capable. And as harsh as that may seem, whenever you talk about it quick, the same thing is true today, is it not? God had made a way for those people, and they didn't accept the way, and they were punished. They didn't get to go over into the promised land. And today, you know, it may seem a harsh reality, but he's made a way for us to conquer death through salvation, through Christ. And if we don't believe that, then there's death. But they had got the victory by going across. They entered over. They symbolized that, you know, that they weren't in bondage to Pharaoh and Egypt anymore. They finally broke free and went into the promise where the Lord had given them. And I believe you can't truly love someone or demonstrate your love to someone if you're not free to not love them. If you're not free to choose to disassociate, if you will, you can't really prove that you love somebody. See, because during the time they were wandering in the desert, they had to depend on God because there wasn't anything else to eat. They had to depend on him where the water was coming out of the rock. They had to depend on him for the manna or the, you know, whatever way he fed them. They were dependent upon God, but not until they crossed over to where they had food and they had the ability to not depend on God could they demonstrate their love to God. And I think that's where we have freedom in Christ as believers to serve God, right? We have free will, and we can't choose to love God unless we're free to not choose to love God. Because if you're not free to choose, it's not really a choice. So, you know, I think that the true sign of love in this context is obedience. And they obeyed. They did these things to demonstrate that they loved God by obeying the commands that he had given previously. And then after they did all that, Joshua goes down in the riverbed, as we've seen in verse 9. He goes down in the riverbed and he builds a memorial in the riverbed where the priest had stood. So the way I read this, they took the 12 stones out of the riverbed and they made the memorial up on the land, and they took 12 other stones and made a memorial down under the water in the riverbed that was dry, and then it's not going to be dry, so the water's going to come, and that's going to be covered up, right? And how does anybody know that that is down there? The Bible said that is it, right? You're not going to, the people of that day, they're not going to walk by and look at the river and say, oh, wow, there's rocks down there. And I think that's a symbol that sometimes the Lord does something for us, and we're in our obedience, we obey him, and that's going to just be covered up. And we know it's there, and he knows it's there, and that's all that really matters sometimes. It doesn't have to be out there for the world to know. True obedience is when no one sees what's going on. True obedience is whenever I have the choice to not, and I do, and it doesn't have any other consequences other it's the right thing to do because the Lord told me to do it, and no one else needs to know. And I think that's what that's the importance of those stones under the water, is showing us that we don't have to do things. Yeah, sometimes things are memorialized right up on the bank, and sometimes things or not. So, you know, as we remember what the soldiers did for us tomorrow by giving their life, and we celebrate that, I think it's important that we not forget what Christ did for us either. The same way that we set aside a day to memorialize them, we should also have a memorial to Christ. And I think our memorial to Christ is the life that we live as believers. The legacy we leave shouldn't be our legacy per se. It should be the legacy that projects Christ's will in our life and our obedience and what we did to further His kingdom. I'm going to ask Matt to come and have a hymn invitation this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you can't say that you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you can't say that there was that time that you recognized that His death on the cross was for your salvation. I'm going to ask you to come up this morning. We'll pray about it. We'll talk about it. If there's something else going on you need to pray about, feel free to come and do that as well. What are we singing?
482.
482. Everybody sing? I have heard the voice of Jesus calling, clearly follow me. No one else could ever promise life eternal and so free. All to thee I give my all to thee. All to thee, thine only will I be. All to thee, O Christ of Calvary, my prayer shall ever be, my all to thee. Though unworthy of salvation, Jesus sought me for His own. On the cross He died to save me. Now I long to make Him known. All to thee I give my all to thee. All to thee thine only will I be. All to thee, O Christ of Calvary, my prayer shall ever be, my all to thee. All right, we're going to, I think Dalton announced it, but we'll not have service tonight with the big Memorial Day, but we are having a short business meeting right after service here, so we'll dismiss in a moment, and then we'll have about a 5 to 10 minute intercession, and then we'll come back and have our business meeting this morning. So, with that, Greg, would you dismiss in a word of prayer?